Thank you. Even though Pastor Bill did open us with prayer, I'd like to pray too. I've just found when I speak, I almost can't start if I don't pray. There's just something about it. To me, that's the place to start everything. Okay? Father God, we just thank you that you are here today. You inhabit the presence of your praises. You are here. We thank you for sending your Son to give us life and for your Holy Spirit to be here in us and among us today, teaching us that which you would have for us to receive from you. And we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So I'll share something briefly personally. And as we were doing praise and worship, hopefully God is speaking to you guys like he does me when things are going on like that. And I'm sitting there and I said I was going to do something. And God said, no, don't do that. And so he's changed my mind. So that I'm probably not going to use as much. And more or less what he said was, if you notice a slight limp in my walk, I actually strained the tendon that connects your heel to your arch muscle Thursday night, going up my steps. I missed a step and came down wrong. And so it's been bothering me. It's been speaking to me, you know, like in pain. And more or less what God was sharing with me, just as you're teaching, as you're sharing, just speak to it louder in faith. And so that you don't hear it, you're just going to speak to it the whole time. So as I'm sharing with you, I'm talking to it too. I can multitask in the spirit. You know, it says we can pray, it says pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that if you can't be praying while you're doing other things? And so, yeah, I'm speaking to it. So I actually prefer, how would I put it? I almost feel caged if I have to stay in one spot. I don't know. You may notice that about me. In fact, this hand's usually moving. My feet are usually moving. That's just kind of me. But God placed something on my heart to share this morning. And I actually, most times when someone asks me to share, it takes me a while to figure out what it is I'm going to share because I go to God and say, what do you have for me? Pastor Bill asked me to share 2 weeks ago. And it was like instantaneous. It's like I was talking to a couple of men here in this church right after he'd asked me. And it was like we got to talking about a specific topic. And I said, well, maybe I should share about that. Now, I did take time to confirm that with God once I got in private. But it was like I knew right away. And so that's a little abnormal for me. And I like it when he does it early. Which is also me. I like knowing well in advance. I'm one of those people that tend to plan and have like things in order. So this went very nicely, I will say, for me. There was great peace in that. And what I will say is I'm going to lay a little background first. In other words, I'm not going to dive right into what he is going to, the main topic of what he wants me to share. But what I want to first do is we're going to bring back to your remembrance something that Pastor Bill shared. And I can't tell you exactly how many weeks ago he shared on this. I know he shared it at least a couple of times over time. It's something that has greatly affected my way of looking at a specific verse. And I'm not going to go back into the Greek lesson he gave us, okay? Because I have my own for you today. So I don't want to add Greek to Greek and give you too much, okay? But when you look at Romans 10:17, and it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Pastor Bill shared the meaning of those two words by, the fact that there are four different words in the Greek that are translated by, and that specifically the two words translated by here in that verse, in Romans 10:17, are two different definitions or two different Greek words. The first one meaning out of, and the second one meaning unto the completion of. So what I like doing is then taking those definitions and plug it right back into the verse and see what it says. So then it would then say, so then faith comes out of hearing, and hearing unto the completion of the word of God. And when I first heard that, a light came on more than any time in my life. I mean, I kind of got it, but now I had it more. I don't, have you ever had a verse like that where you knew it, but then you knew something more and you knew it better? Because when I saw that, unto the completion of, that means that with faith, there's a completion. There's an end. In other words, it's done. And that's, and I'm sharing that for a reason this morning, because one of the main words that I want to get out of this is in that completion, in that done, in that doing, this part, the action part of it. Main text today, I'm going to have you go to a passage that you're all very well aware of. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 5. Even though verses 5 through 8 just lays a little background that I'm just going to reference briefly. So we'll look at 5 through 8 first and then continue on specifically with just 9 and 10. And I have a reason for stopping there. Most people would read 9 through 13 because it is a prayer and it doesn't end with 10. But I want to focus specifically on one thing this morning. So Matthew chapter 6 verse 5 starts this way. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Set all that to lead up to these two verses. I want you to know about that. Have that in mind. Because this next verse refers to what came before and what comes after. That's the why we're going to go into a specific Greek word here. The next verse, verse 9, says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Okay, notice Jesus doesn't say, pray these words. This prayer we'll hear prayed over and over and over again in churches. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray it, because if you want to be sure that you're praying the will of God, pray his word. So I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's not what he's saying here. He's not saying that we need to go around praying this prayer as our prayer, our main prayer. What he's saying is, in this manner, therefore, pray. So the Greek word manner there is hutu, based on me phonetically pronouncing it as best as I can. It's what it looks like when they show you in the written word. And what it means is this. Manner, what's contained in that Greek word, is that which precedes or follows in a similar fashion. So now, once again, let's look at that verse and how that would read. In this, look at what came before, what precedes, look at what follows, and do it in a similar fashion. So it doesn't say do it, it says do it in a similar way, or likewise, or in this case, in the New King James, it uses the word in this manner. So, if you're not to just speak these exact words, then what you're going to need is an understanding of what was shared before. Where do you go to pray? Do you go out in public? Is it in private? Are there vain repetitions? Well, we've talked about the setting before, what preceded, and now we're going to talk about what things or what areas you should pray for going forward. So 9 and 10 goes on to say, it says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I'm going to stop there. There's actually almost two halves to this prayer. I don't know if you've ever noticed it before. The first half of the prayer, which we're just saying now, really is us praying out of our love for the Father and our desiring the Father's heart. That's why it starts with our Father. When you pray that prayer, the thought should be, I'm praying to my Father, who I love. And because I love my Father, I'm going to pray for the things that he wants. So what does he want? He wants his will to be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven. Notice that word done. We're going to go back to that some more. He wants his will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying out of our heart of love for our Father. And so that's one of the things, if in this manner, therefore, pray, we should be praying out of out of a heart of love for our Father, and that will lead us to pray certain things. And Jesus is saying, this is one of the things, if you love your Father, my Father in this case, each one of our fathers, if we're born again, that you will pray like this and things like this. And that's where I'm going to focus on today, is that we're to pray that the Father's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So what does that mean? Our second Greek word, and I promise you this will be the end of the Greek lesson this morning, but I really like looking at them because it brings out some details that you just don't actually see if you just read through it. Now, maybe the Holy Spirit just gives it to you and you see it without the word. Oftentimes, I'll be reading along and just know that there's something more that I'm missing. I'm reading and going, okay, I'm seeing what I can see, but I know there's more. That usually sends me digging, and that's when I wind up going back to the Greek or the Hebrew or looking at some other translations to see what they say and see if the Spirit goes, yeah, that's it. So in this case, I went in and looked at the Greek word here, and the Greek word for the word will, in that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is the Greek word, best pronouncing I can give it, is thelema. And thelema specifically means purpose, but actively it means choice. Now think about that, because it makes sense if you start thinking about the way we use this in talking of what we know about God and how God deals with us. It says we know that we have a free will. So what does that mean? We have the ability to choose. So in other words, choice and will are part of each other. Okay, we have a free will, which means he gives us the ability to choose. The key is, and this is the key really to the whole teaching, here we're praying that his will be done. So we can look at this the same way. God has choices. And see, what we need to have happen is for his will to be our will, his choices to be our choices. I really like it. If you start looking in God's word, there are several places where he'll do something like this. You like taking a test when you know all the answers. You know, the teacher gives you a sheet. Here's the questions. Here's the answer. Just write them in. God does that all the time. So I really like it. I like those type of tests. God says, I set before you life and death. My will is that you choose life. Yes. Let's do that. You know, so I like it. It's his will that we choose life. He sets before us the options and then says, choose this one. So he will even tell us what our choices are. And in fact, that's one of the things that I want to drill down into next. This is all God's will that I'm going to be talking about going forward, but there are different ways of looking at it for some different reasons. And you'll see this as I go along here. I think a common way to break down God's will is his general will and his specific will. And I don't know if you've ever heard it shared that way, but there's some reasons why it's easy to break it down to see his overall will, because it's still his will, whether it's his general will or specific will. It's all the will of God. First, what I mean by his general will, I will say that's what is meant to apply to everybody. Each one of us who are born again, he has a will. And I think maybe even too often, Christians are running around going, I need to know exactly what God wants me to do today. We're going to get to that. But because they don't seem to be getting exactly what God wants for them to do today, specifically for them, they wind up doing nothing. I will contend that if you are busy doing the general will of God, you won't even almost have time to think about what he has for you specifically to do. Because his word is filled over and over and over again. Do this, do this. This is my will. This is what I want you to do. Here's what I would have you doing. If you busy yourself with doing that, you will be walking in the will of God for your life. Okay? Now, not to say that the other isn't important too, and we're going to get to that. But just think of a couple of examples. As I was going through this, I started thinking, oh, there's this, and there's this, and there's this. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. So we can clearly know his will, stated in his word, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what would be our part in God's will there? Well, first of all, we should be witnesses to those who aren't. We should also be praying that those who are unsaved would come to the saving knowledge of him. So in other words, we can take his will, make it our will, and turn it into action for our lives. Same thing, if you were to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. What does it say next? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Does it get more specific than that? If you want to know God's will for you, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. So busy your life doing that, and you can't go wrong because it's God's will for you. He just tells you, here it is, just do it. So, as I said, there are no shortcuts. So if you want to know and be able to not just know, because here's what's key. In that prayer, if you look back at Matthew chapter 6, I don't know if any of you have left there yet or not, but Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it says that we are to pray that his will be done here on earth as in heaven. Does it say to know that his will? To know his will? It says it's done. Okay? So it's not just enough to know his will. However, it's important to know his will because that's the starting point. How do you do it if you don't know it? Okay? So we can know it by going to God's word. But then there's the doing, and we're going to talk more about that. But I want to go to the second half of the general will and the specific will. In the general will, what I was about to say is that there are no shortcuts. If you want to know it, you have to spend time in his word. You can't just say, well, God, show me. Well, he has. He's put it in his word. So if just showing up here on Sunday morning and hearing what Pastor Bill or whoever's in the pulpit has to share, that's good, and you're going to hear God's will there, but you don't just need God's will for your life one day a week. Okay? There are certain things in the Bible that says there's a time and season for things. There's no time or season for God's will. It's every single day. You don't got to wait till the summer or the spring for it. It's every day. So when should you go to God to find out what his will is for you today? Today and every day, okay? So there's no shortcuts. Go to his word. You can be doing that on an ongoing basis to find his general will. But then, as I also said, the other breakdown is God's specific will. There's no shortcut here either. Some people would like it best if they could just go on living their lives, doing whatever it is they want to do. In other words, what they decide they want to do. And then just have God hit them with a lightning bolt or something in the middle of what they're doing so that they now know, oh, this is what God wants me specifically to do right now. I will tell you, can God do that? Yes, I'm not limiting God. So can that happen? However, I will tell you that's also not the way he would most likely want to do it. Okay? And I can be confident of that knowing God's word. I've actually had the chance recently being led by God for something specifically that I know that it's his will for me to do. And it actually coincides with something that I like to do anyhow, which is really kind of God too. In that, I like having Starbucks lattes, you know, things like that. So I had been going there, I'll say at least once a week, sometimes twice. And I've just done that since I've been down here, and there are two of them less than 5 minutes from my house, so it's really convenient. It might be better if they were further away, and I might not go quite so often, but they're right there, so I go, and I do enjoy it. However, over time, I started meeting a man that was showing up, and we would just talk nothing really about God, Jesus, per se, and anything, just general greetings, you know, how you doing, whatever. And this has been going on for about 6-8 months. And we just run into each other and talk for 5 minutes here or there. About 6 weeks ago, on a Saturday morning, he started asking me questions about God and the Word. He knew over time that I was in there, what I would do is I would go in and meditate on the Word. My Bible would be there, and I would just be meditating on the word. And I shared. So he started asking me questions. And what this has evolved into is, I'll say five out of the last six Saturdays, I spent anywhere from an hour to 2 hours basically with him saying, well, I think this, and this is my opinion, and this is what I get out of religion, and here's where I'm at. And it's then given me the opportunity. I actually shared this with Pastor Bill. Right from the very beginning of this, he'll say, well, this is my opinion, and this is what I think. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I won't tell you what I think. I'll just tell you what Word of God says. And I've done this with him, I mean, like a dozen times already. And he gets it, and he goes, yeah, I know. And the man is saved, okay? However, what I will say is he's, don't know what church he's going to specifically, but to this point in time, he hasn't got a lot of the word that we get here. You all should be so thankful for the word that you get here, because there are a lot of places not getting this, so that they know everything that they need to live the life that God would have them live. And so he just starts asking questions, and it leads to an hour or 2 hours of sharing every Saturday morning. And I know I'm just to show up every Saturday morning, and then I let him lead it. I don't go in with any preconceived any ideas. He just starts asking questions, saying this, and God has, it's been the most amazing time. It has been, I enjoy it greatly. But the last Saturday I went in, he mentioned something right at the very end of our conversation, and I knew it was time for him. He had to go. And I didn't get a chance to share what God put on my heart to share with him. And it bugged me all week. I don't know what word you could put on it. I don't want to say worried. It wasn't that, but there was a burden, like he's missing something that he really needs, and I can't wait to get it to him. So this last yesterday, I knew I was to share this with him. But I wasn't going to go in and direct the conversation either. But he led right back into it. It just opened the door, and God arranged that. I know he did. And I was able to share something with him during that time. And once I shared it, he goes, there's no way you could have known that. And I said, yeah, there is. And he goes, yeah, I know, the Holy Spirit. I'm going, yes. And so God kind of led me to, is the phrase we would use, read his mail a little bit. But what it's about, it applies to what I'm sharing this morning. Because what I was getting was, he was living his life from miracle to miracle, from God stepping in supernatural in different ways in different places, and he was living from this to that, and then waiting for the next thing to happen, and the next thing to happen. God's miraculously saved his life twice. Literally, he'd be dead without God. But he started to live that way. And God showed me that, and I shared with him yesterday. I said, it's not about, God doesn't want you to live your life from miracle to miracle. He wants you to live your life in constant fellowship with him. That's why he created us. And after I shared that with him, he just looked at me and goes, that's exactly what I needed. Thank you. He literally thanked me. He says, I'm going to do that from now on. I'm telling you right now, I'm committed to having fellowship every day with God. And that excited me. I was so excited. But see, that's the shortcut that we can't take with knowing God's specific will either. If you want to know what God wants for you to do every day, go to him and spend time with him every day. Be in fellowship with him every day. I know I had one day have, now I'm telling on myself here. Have any of you ever got to the end of a day, and you don't have to raise your hands or whatever, and go, you know, I don't know if I thought about God 1 minute today? I had one of those days somewhere in the last year or two. I remember because I got to the end of the day. I didn't let it end there because I'm with God. As soon as I know, it's like, okay, I got to spend some time. But I looked at it and go, did I really think about, you know, spending some time with God somehow? I don't remember the day, the events, what happened, but I got to the end of the day and just kind of noticed I really hadn't spent time with God. I'm going, I don't ever want to do that again. Because I look back at the day and going, it was a mess. You know, it just, it's so easy to get off on a wrong step. And once you start down a path that God's not involved in, it may not turn up in a catastrophe because of the grace of God, but I'd much be rather walking in what he wants me to do every day. And that needs to start with fellowship with him, and there's no shortcuts. So now I'm going to go into even a greater breakdown of what's involved in the will of God. Because I think sometimes we can think that just knowing the what is enough. And by that, that's what we've been talking about now, knowing what the will of God is. I will say the what is not enough. And I think you'll agree with me once we go down through this. It's throughout the Word. You'll be able to see it. It's not the will of God if you do what God wants you to do in your own strength or in your own way. The Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So why would we be trying to do it the way we think or how we think it ought to be done without checking in with him and finding out how he'd like us to do it? Okay? So, and I think what you'll find, I have personally, because I've tried option A before too. God shows me something and I just take it, I got this. Boom. Go and do it and then look back. That didn't work out so good. Are you sure that was you, God? Yeah, but you might want to have done it this way. God will even show me after the fact, like, yeah, you went off on your own strength and it didn't turn out real well, did it? And so over time you learn. So I will say, when you're spending time in fellowship with God, don't just ask him what to do. Ask him how to do it. If he gives you something, say, well, God, how should I do this? You know better than I do, right? Okay? Let's go to the next thing. This is something that Pastor Bill shared on last week. And so I'm not going to go into great detail, but I want to bring it up. Also, there is the when do we do what it is God, the what that God shared us to do. Okay? Now, as he shared last week, because it was just last week he mentioned this, most of the time when God shares something with you, it's for that day. It's for that time. In other words, he doesn't show us way out down the road often. But I do want to say that because I'm going to go on to the next step to bring up what Pastor Bill mentioned, because that can happen. That's why we need to have fellowship day by day, because he's going to show us day by day. And what should our response be? Well, thank you for telling me what that is. No, we should then be going, okay, how do I do that? And is that for today, God? It's simple. Simple verse in the Bible, Matthew 7:7 actually says, ask and you'll receive. So if you don't know if it's for today, my first question would be, have you asked him yet? If you don't know how to do it, have you asked him yet? If you don't know what it is you're supposed to do, have you asked him yet? It says, ask and you'll receive. It's that simple. It's that plain. So in your time with him, be sure to ask him. He'll show you. Now, say, for example, when Jesus came to the disciples and said, and basically he said to them, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. What was their response? The next verse says they immediately left their nets and followed him. It was for an immediate. It was for now. And that's going to be most often the case. But as Pastor Bill was sharing last week, sometimes God will share you something like he did, share something with you like he did with Joseph. Very early on in his life, if you try walking out something that God has showed you for the future now, you're going to fall flat on your face now because it's not for now. So once again, the key is ask him, is this for now or is this for later? Okay? So it all comes back to in this private time you're spending with him, ask him. He's going to show you from his spirit to your spirit. I guess the last thing that I would mention here, and this is one that you really don't have to ask him about because it would be found more or less in his general will, okay? But it is a component of, okay, what is it you want me to do? How is it you want me to do it? When do you want me to do it? But there's also the attitude of your heart, because God is as concerned, if not more, with what you're doing as to the attitude of your heart while you're doing it. Okay? And it's really pretty simple. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do be done with love. So whatever it is God is impressing upon you from his spirit to your spirit that you're to do, be sure that you're doing it out of a heart of love. And if you can get these things right, then and only then will you be doing the will of God. Because if you're doing what he says, at the wrong time, the wrong way, it's not the will of God. Because he would say, my will is that you do it this way. My will is that you do it now. So really, to be walking completely in his will, you need to get all of this from God. And he will, because he loves you and he wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. That's one of the other things in praying this prayer that God brought to my attention. We're to pray that his will be done on earth. What's one way that we can at least contribute to his will be done on earth? Making sure that it's done in our own lives. Each one of us individually. If we want God's will done here, it needs to start with us. I mean, we can pray it with everybody else, but if we say, God, do your will in everybody else, just leave me alone. No, that's not how it's going to work. It needs to start with us, each one of us. That way we can be sure at least we're doing our part to get having God's will done here on earth. Okay? So it's really, really important that we go to him asking him for the who, the what, the how, the when, if we want to know his whole will for us. And I guess what I'd like to do, kind of in closing, is go back to and wrap up what I started with. And that was talking about that it's important that his will be done in that verse and everything. And connecting it to a verse that Pastor Bill has also mentioned a couple times. In fact, if you were here for the teaching portion of today's service, he referenced this verse again. It's found in Philippians chapter 2. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." See, another part of that definition of that Greek word is it's his pleasure. It's your pleasure, your desire, your will. It's his pleasure. It's his desire. It's his will. So it says he works to do for his good pleasure. Okay? But what's important for each one of us to know is that's his promise to us. He's working in us, those who are his, putting his wills and his desires and working them into our hearts so that his desires become our desires. And he tells us he's doing that for us. And so he gets them in there. The key is for us is then to recognize them and know that this is God and then to do them. So the last verse that I want to reference is one that I'm sure you all know as well. It is Hebrews chapter 13. I do believe. No, chapter 11, the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." So notice I started back in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we're talking about faith because this all comes back to faith. We have to have faith in him, but we put our faith in him for specific things. In other words, yes, it's great you have faith in him, and it's a need, it's a must. But we also need to apply our faith to something. And here, like that verse, chapter Philippians 2:13, it's something we can put our faith in because he said it, okay? So we know that he's the one backing it and making it happen. But I particularly like Hebrews 11:6 because it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of who? Those who diligently seek him." See, the key is here, you can't leave out that word diligently. If it's just seek him, you can seek him haphazardly anytime you want or more or less when you need him. Oh, God, I'm in trouble now. Help, what do I do? See, if you're waiting till that point in time, then you're kind of more like living from that miracle to miracle. God, I'm in trouble. Bail me out. I need a miracle. Rather than living the life of one who diligently seeks him. That's the person whose own desire, their desire, is to be walking in the will of God, doing the will of God. And to do that, you need to diligently seek him. And that means all the time, and that becomes your heart desire. And so I like to always end whenever I share with an exhortation. The Bible tells us that one of the reasons that we're to get together, is to exhort one another. The way it says it, exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, the day's approaching. We don't know when it is, but it's approaching. It's closer now than it was at the time of Jesus. So one of the reasons we're to get together is to exhort each other. Now, what I don't know that a lot of people understand, I think some people have a misconception of what exhorting means, too. Some people get the idea it's like patting on someone on the back, thank you, you know, that's good or whatever. In other words, thanking them for something that they've done or whatever, exhorting, building them up in some way. That's not exhorting. If you were to go back and look at the Greek word there, I don't even remember what it is, but I did take the time to do it in the past, but this has been a long time ago. But if you looked at the definition of the word as it's used there, it says to call someone out as if across the room. So in other words, exhorting is something meant to be public. And there's a reason why. It's so that other people can exhort the person in the same way. Because what it then goes on to say is it is to call out as if across the room to some future positive act. That's exhorting. So in other words, what I want to exhort each one of you today here is to be diligent in your time spent with God. Don't let a day go by. Now, I can't do that for you. I can't bring you to the point where it's your desire to do that. That's something that only you can commit to and have God give you then the ability, the strength, whatever it takes, so that you do that. Because he will, if he is willing, because it's his will, to do that for you. If you're willing to make that commitment and say, God, I don't want to miss a day without spending time with you. And I want to hear your voice every day. I want to know your will for me so that I'm constantly walking in your will. If you will do that, it's going to be the greatest thing you can do for your life. Other than, I will say, after being saved. That's the starting point. As I shared with the gentleman yesterday, I said, you know, it starts with relationship with God. But just because you're related, that doesn't automatically mean that you're in fellowship with him. You can be related to cousins, you know, people that you know by blood are related to you. I've got some cousins. I have many cousins. I've come from a large family, and like a 25 on one side. And like every family has like 5 or 6 kids. And there are several of them I haven't talked to in 5 or 10 years. So we're related, but we don't have fellowship. And the relationship is necessary. You can't have the fellowship with them unless you're related. So it's important, yes, most importantly, that we are born again, saved, and therefore, through Jesus Christ, we are right with God. So we have that relationship. But he created us for fellowship. It doesn't stop at the right relationship. So my desire, my will, which is what we're to pray for, is that his will be done here on earth. My will and my prayer for each one of you is that his will become primary in your life. So that's what God laid on my heart to share today. I'll turn it back over to Pastor Bill now.